5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken egg, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palace, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole my lozenges because she was drinking too much Pinot Grigio in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People just in plastic bags, direct in traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around flat to party, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell Mafia running it with me tonight in New York, and we got our eyes on everything. First of all, I wanted to say how jacked we are to be on in San Diego on the mightier 1090, an iconic legendary station, rock star status with me, for sure. I have quite a history in Southern California. I got my Surf City shirt on right now. The Pier, son. OP Pro, son. This ain't no joke. All I know is it's great to be on in Southern California, and it's Baja to Lipstick City, baby, north of L.A. I mean, this thing booms all the way to that city by the bay. It's no joke. I heard somebody, I think Ison, said today to Canada, I say, from heaven to hell, you can hear the mightier 1090. It's good to have you on. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on. That's 844, toll-free, 843-6879. We want to hear from you, SoCali. We want to talk everything. Padres, you name it. Dodgers, Angels, Clippers, Lakers, Rams, Chargers. I don't care. I know you hate the Chargers. That's fine. So then hate them and bet against them. Talk bad about them. I'm cool with that too. You can talk about San Diego State. I don't care. You get it all on the bench. So go with us all night, NBA, NHL.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so for all on the bench, I'm looking at this game, right? And it's amazing to me, this Clipper game. So the game started out, right? Like, you can't even make this stuff up. The first quarter, I got to go back, right? So the beginning of the game, the Clippers come out, you know, Kawhi hits a deuce. Then Zubats has a dunk. Then George makes a three. Then Kawhi makes a three. It's 10-0. Then Doncic scores on a layup. It's 10-2. Then Zubats, again, a tip back, 12-2. Then 15-2 on a PG 25-footer. 18-2 on a Morris three from 25-foot. Then Doncic makes a shot, a 10-foot popper. It's 18-4. Then next thing you know, Porzingis makes an attack. It's 18-5. Then Hardaway, a jumper, 18-7. I mean, they were killing them. They were killing them. It was 18-2. And then it was 18-10, then 20-10, 20-13. Next thing you know, they get back in it. Finney Smith makes a two. It's 20-15. Then PG makes a shot. It's 22-15. Then Porzingis makes an 18-footer. It's 22-17. Then Porzingis again makes a shot or free throws. And it was 22-18. Before you know it, Porzingis makes another free throw. It's 22-19. Then Curry a three. It's tied up. A running J, 25-footer. It's tied up. Then Harrell makes a free throw, 23-22. Lou Williams makes a layup, 25-22. Then Curry another three, 23-foot from Luka. And then Kawhi makes a free throw. They're up one. He makes another one. They're up two. And then Doncic makes a free throw. And then, I mean, the next thing you know, like the long end of it is this. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, on a Kid Gilchrist 24-foot three, they take the lead, the Mavs. Then they go up 38-34 on Doncic's three. Step back, just crisp, rain, teardrop, 38-34. At some point, they go into the second. It's 38-36. Then Finney Smith makes a three, a 25-foot dagger. It's 41-36 Mavs. Then Doncic, a 14-footer, 43-36. They get it up to 10 on a Curry three from Luka. It's 46-36. And then Doncic makes it an 11-point game on a free throw. I mean, he makes another one. They're up 12. Then they're up 50-36 on a Burke two. And then eventually the Clippers fight their way back into it on a Kawhi 15-footer. They're down five. And then Zinger makes a 14-footer. They're up seven. And then Lou a three, sweet Lou a three. It's 52-48. Then it's 52-50 after PG makes a layup. And then next thing you know, Dallas right now, I mean, I'm not going to go through every single step of it, but it's 64-59 now with about a minute 40 and rolling in the first half. It is unbelievable to me, this game. They were killing them. The Clippers were killing them, and then they just stopped scoring. And then the Mavs just started hitting everything, and it was all because of, as usual, Doncic. He's got 19 points, five boards, six dimes already. He'll easily get the triple-double. Zinger misses the dunk but fouled. I'm watching right now. He's got 12-4-1, and I want to see if he's got any one block so far. He got foul. He got called a foul on a block, on a beautiful block shot, and then got teched up when he questioned the call. I thought that was a weak call. It was a great block, all ball, and then they called him for the foul and the tech. 65-61, and he got hammered there by PG on that dunk attempt for sure. He's got 13, 3 of 7 from the floor, 4 boards right now. But it's the usual Doncic show with Porzingis. But in terms of anybody else, Hardaway's got 11 and Kid Gilchrist 6. He's hit 2 threes in the game. So they're up 5 right now with a minute 10 left. Sweet Lou 3. Now it's a 2-point game. Williams does whatever he wants. He does whatever he wants. Williams has, I mean, I think he's got 11 now. And then bottom line, Kawhi's got 15, Morris 12, Zubats 8, and PG's got 15 and 2 threes. Morris 2 threes, Kawhi a 3, Green, Jeff Green a 3, Sweet Lou's got 2 threes. It's a 5-point game, 40 seconds left. I think Curry's look good in this game, to be honest with you. Curry's got 9. He's got 3 threes in the game. I saw him hit all 3 threes. You know, it is amazing to me watching Lou Williams play. I don't care if he went to the strip club for wings. I went to the strip club for steaks. I just wanted to say you got to pick your game up a little bit. You got to have a steak when you're there. Screw wings. I can get wings anywhere. But you got to have the steak. You got to have a big, like, Kansas City strip, an enormous Kansas City strip. I'm not even talking a New York strip. You got to have a Kansas City strip when you're at the strip club. You know what I mean? So, but when, you know, he got done with all of his problems with the strip club and blame, and they sat him on the bench and he got no burn. He got in trouble. He hasn't had a haircut in a month and a half. Bottom line is, Sweet Lou deals. He should be the blackjack dealer in Vegas because he deals. When he's got the rock, he scores every time, all the time. I mean, Williams is unbelievable. 6 man. I don't know how many. What has he won? 2 or 3 of them? And the guy just is a freak. Harold is back from his mom's sister. I guess it was his grandmother, right? Or something like this. So his grandmother died and he went into like this, you know, 2-week grieving. Like he was just shut down with the grandma dying. I guess the grandma was his like best friend in life. So he was out. He never played in the bubble and he came back. Now he's getting his swerve on. Here he is with a steal. Your boy Harold going to the 10. He gets fouled. Doncic questioning the call. He's going to get teed up now. They're going to tee up the whole team. I don't think they're going to tee him up. But they are complaining and arguing about every call, both teams. Both teams, and the game's getting physical. I thought that was a block. That looked like a clean block to me, total block. And I thought Porzingis' was a clean block. And I'm on the Clippers in this game, right? So I'm just telling it like it is. I thought it was a clean block. But Harrell was out forever. And he, you know, I just question his burn. I question his cardio. I question his being out of the rhythm, out of the game for a couple weeks, completely not in the mix. I just don't, I don't know. I love his game. Don't get me wrong. He's a double-double machine, and he's a nasty player in the blocks. I love his physicality, his intensity, and everything about his game, except that he hasn't played. I question how much he's got, you know, gas in the tank, in other words. They bring in Shamet, too. That guy can shoot. This whole team with Reggie Jackson, Williams, they got so many nice pieces, the Clippers. You can't even argue it. They're down 3, and he misses the free throw, the second free throw. He got the first. They're down 3 with just about 5 seconds left. Let's see if Doncic can do any magic here before the buzzer. A runner, but he missed it. So they're going to go 69-66 at the halftime with the Mavs up. I mean, it truly is unbelievable. They were getting smoked 18-2, and they came back, and they lead at the half. And it really is because of Doncic. 19-5-6. He is sick in the head. There's no doubt about it. So the Raptors, we'll get into that game. They blew out the Nets. The Nuggets-Jazz game was the game of the day. It came down to overtime at 115s. And then the Nuggets blew them out in overtime by 10, 135-125. And so the Celtics were winners by 8 over the Sixers. Boston gets it done. We'll get into all those games. And then I just want to tell you, just for shacks and giggles, Kane's up 2-1, 10 left in the game against the Bruins. Boston leads the series 2-1. Canes needed to tie up the series at twos. They led this game 2-0 on Halak. Lightning won today over the Jackets 2-1. They lead that series 3-1. Avs blew out the Coyotes 7-1. They lead that series 3-1. Blues and Canucks later tonight. Terrell on a bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So a funny story going back to my days in Miami. In 2003, I worked in Miami. After I was on in New York doing morning drive and on WNEW, a legendary station. And then there was this Sex for Sam stunt that Opie and Anthony pulled off. And a guy ended up having relations with his girlfriend in the St. Patrick's Cathedral on the Day of Atonement in front of 200 parishioners. And it did not go over well with the city, the state, the popo, or any of the people at CBS. So what they did was they fired everyone. I mean, everyone. They fired every single person at the station. So I moved to Miami. Next thing you know, I end up on QAM, the home of the Marlins and the Canes and the Dolphins and everything else. And I'm doing mornings. And the first day, literally the first day I'm on the air, I hadn't worked in a while. Like it had been several months, like probably 6 months since I got fired because I was a hot potato. They're like, well, he must have done something wrong, so we're not going to hire him. And so I was like just chilling on the beach in Miami. And I mean, chilling the most, right? And the first day on the air, I went on the air the very first day, and the Bruins take the lead 3-2. Unbelievable. Marchand slips one in, and they've got the lead on Carolina. They've blown this game. They were up 2-0, and they've given up three straight, and there's 8:20 left in the game. So anyway, I'm in Miami. It's my first day on the air. I go in. I'm working with the legendary Neil Rogers. I'm doing mornings, and then Neil came on after me, and I'm, you know, crazy. So they'd never had anything like me on the radio. And I went on, and the very first day, Mafia, you know the story, like 10 minutes into the show, 10 minutes in, the first thing I said was that I had slept with Dan Marino's sister, and that did not go over well in Miami. And the phones lit up. People wanted me dead. And then I swear to God, on a stack of Bibles, a lightning bolt hit the tower. At exactly 10 minutes into the show, it hit the tower, a gigantic lightning bolt, and the radio station went black for like 24 hours. They lost the radio station. It went off the air completely, and I never did another minute that day. I went on with Neil on the internet. He did like, you know, like neilrogers.com or something like that. I went on with his internet show because there was no radio station. There was no show for him either. So he did an internet show and there were no rules. It was like uncensored. And it was the filthiest like hour of radio I've ever done in my life until I worked for Howard Stern. But I, today when I was on in, you know, San Diego in Southern California, we were on the air about an hour. And then a tornado rolled through Miami, and like literally a bunch of them. Like they had the wildest 75-mile-an-hour winds, the whole deal, massive storms. Rick Caro's coming on now, my sports business and legal insider from Harvard. He lives in Miami. He will attest that these crazy storms blew through Miami. Well, the guy that runs our TV show runs it from Miami. He runs the whole thing on the production end of it is out of Miami. And so sure enough, I got knocked off the air like twice today doing the TV show in Southern California. It was the worst. It was just like my nightmare in Miami on QAM when lightning hit the tower. Tell him, Haro, it was unbelievable. You live down there. How bad were the storms?
Well, you know, I was excited because, you know, the Mighty 1090 stuff and Scott Kaplan and, you know, good friend, and this was going to be kind of the debut and he's listening. And I took it personally because I thought you blew me off not only once, but twice. You know, I know it's bad for you, but it's bad for me, too. It's also bad for everybody who could have seen it. And I know because I heard you off the air what you said. And let's put it this way. I'm just glad that you weren't on for people to listen to you and your true ability with the English language. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, I called you later and said I didn't know that you had heard me. And I said, I mean, my language was Bob Knight-esque. I had it all going. I had the.
Yeah, that was a good comment. Then you texted me and you said something like, well, I can't tell you what you texted me, but part of it said it's over. And I don't know if that meant your life, the station, our relationship, like, you know, everything.
No, it's just over. Like we're not doing the segment anymore. The whole, I mean, we're lucky to get this on the air. But tell them there were really bad storms.
Thanks for the update. It's one of those. And those of you who know radar, you look at it and it's, you know, beyond red. It's like orange. It's like, you know, hold the women and children. And it was close to me. This is Palm Beach Gardens, where the Honda Classic is, and that's where your guy Joe Ranieri is, and I'm up in Jupiter, which is about 15 miles away, and it was heading up here. But, you know, summer thunderstorms in South Florida, it evaporates because it all rained on him. And it just, I took it personally. Then I came back on, and I took it personally. And then, you know, 2 hours later, you said it's over. Well, thanks for the news.
So anyway, the Bruins scored again, and now it's 4-2, and it's lights out. I mean, DeBrusk just scored, and they took Reimer to the woodshed and beat him like a rented mule in this third period. They were down 2-0, and they have rattled off 4 straight goals. And you know what that means? They're drinking beers afterwards in the ping pong room. I mean, the Bruins are in the bubble.
Speak of all that. I know it's your show, but don't. Tuukka Rask is taking too much grief, don't you think?
No, I don't. I think that, to be honest with you, obviously the team knows that his future is more important than the present. They know he's a great goalie, which he is, and he's a winner. That's all there is to it. And, you know, he's the kind of guy got him a Stanley Cup. So here's the deal. When he said he was going home to his pregnant wife, I believe he should have done that before. I believe before the bubble, he should have just made his mind up that he was going to worry about his wife and his her pregnancy and his newborn child and everything else and the COVID. I don't like the way he went on record after a game saying these games don't feel like playoffs to me. There's no fans. It's just not the same. There's no energy. And then Marchand went on record saying, I don't know what he's talking about. These are very big games and we're all having fun and the games are intense. So I don't know what he's saying. So it's obvious to me that his teammates don't agree with him, and none of them will say it because I'm sure the team put out an edict to tell no media, do not talk about Tuukka Rask's decision other than to support him, because that's the way they do it in the professional leagues of all levels. They'll never let some guy opt out and then the whole team starts bashing him or the front office bashes him, then the guy will leave Boston. So I guarantee you, they said, don't say anything. Meanwhile, I think they think he's an absolute wussy for walking out on his teammates in the middle of a series and going home to his wife. And I believe she talked him on the phone into, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You tell you were gonna get. I'm pregnant over here. My ankles are swollen. Blah blah blah. And then he just finally had enough and went home to her. And I believe she talked him into going home because she wanted a big old bowl of ice cream with chocolate sauce on it with her swollen feet. And he's over here playing hockey and ping pong and drinking beer with the boys in Toronto. And she was having none of it. And he lost that battle.
Never mind. Hey, but what I was gonna say was, that everybody has a right to kind of be safe and also to think about the bubble, and maybe the bubble wasn't as safe as he thought it was. But when you think about his statements, obviously, you know, like just leave and apologize to your teammates and go home, and those statements could have been better. You're absolutely right. The wussy part and the pregnancy part, I'll leave that alone and let you be Pharrell. How's that?
Yeah, listen, that's fine, because I do think he's a wussy.
Of course you do. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So now they're telling me that I have limited time with you tonight because I have someone else coming on the show. So that was poorly planned as well, I just have to say. So let me get down to the gist of this as quickly as possible. I want to.
Oh, you mean we can't go through our normal stuff. I've got to go quickly. All right.
Yeah.
So I got blown out in the morning, in the afternoon by God. And now I got blown out by you. All right. That's okay.
This is the worst day ever, and I blame Mafia. Just told me he's got a guest coming up next. You thought maybe he could have like had that guy on in the second hour, but obviously I'm not even going to ask the question. I have no idea what's happening here. Last week I told you we screwed you with one. Now we're screwing you again. So
that's, I mean, right. You'll make it up to me. You'll make it up to me next week, and my buddy Scott Kaplan will go break your neck. How's that?
Listen, I don't think that he can break my neck, actually. I'm Uh-oh. Bigger than, I'm
well,
a
by
lot
way,
bigger
by
than,
the way, one quick thing before substance. He's
dude,
one of my, you know, he's a radio giant, but his ability to play racquetball a little questionable. I'll just leave it at that, because, you know, he's a Miami guy, or spent a lot of time down here as well. CBS Sports Line, he's a, you know, a giant in the industry. Racquetball player, not so much. I'm going to hear about it in a minute.
The NHL will award Sports Radar the exclusive rights to distribute its gambling data to sportsbooks in the U.S. and abroad. I think we are involved in some capacity or another with Sports Radar. Tell me about that deal real quick.
Yes, Sports Radar is a big deal. And so Ted Leonsis and the Capitals, a major investor, basketball, baseball, $250 million bidding. It was a competitive auction that nobody knew about, so nothing official yet, but everybody thinks the deal is done. And what did they do with hockey, right? So they've got chips in the shoulder pads, technology that has data points, including the pucks. SAP was involved in that. Thousands of new data points for information that now bettors and others can use.
So Yankees and Yes have a deal with TikTok, and real quick, I got 15 seconds. The NFL and Sky have agreed to a 5-year deal. What are they going to broadcast games in London?
Yeah, and they're going to do the same kind of deal. They're going to have early programming, Good Morning Football, Total Access shows. Sky gets the first NFL shot at things into the Super Bowl. So they're going to do this through the 2025 season, and the NFL is going to pick up a lot more viewers in London, which is great because they have no international games this year, as you know.
All right, Rick, great stuff today. Sorry about the tornadoes. Stay dry, and hopefully it won't happen tomorrow. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. There you go. All right, so Carolina scored and with an empty net. There's 38 seconds left. They're down 4-3 after they blew a 2-0 lead, and Boston ripped off 4 straight goals, and then they got one back. So there's 38 seconds left, and I know that the Clipper game is underway in the second half. We have Kyle Goon on, our buddy from the Southern Cali News Group, joining us. Talking about the game. He's covering the game, obviously, watching the Clippers. Kyle, how's it going, brother? It's good to have you on. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but we're on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California right now. So that's awesome. It's our first show on there tonight, and we're stoked to be on all over Southern California and, frankly, all over the West Coast with that great signal they got down there.
Yeah, I heard your producer told me. So congratulations. Welcome to Southern California. When I get rained on here, I kind of wish I was back there sometimes.
I believe that. Hey, so a fight had just about broke out. Beverly's starting a fight with Porzingis in this game right now. This game has been very chippy since the jump. because I thought, you know, the Mavs got really angry with the Porzingis block and the tech, and then the Doncic block I thought was clean as well. He didn't get teched up, but I thought that was a clean block. And they've been arguing with the refs throughout the second quarter. There was a lot of arguing, and I think the game got chippy then. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, Pat Bev is always going to bring it. I saw him drawing a little back and forth with Luka. Obviously, he forced a bunch of turnovers early here in this game, trying to enforce his will defensively. He's not been fully healthy for the Clippers since coming back. And, you know, obviously Luka Doncic is Dallas's star. He's going to be a many-time All-Star, potentially an MVP someday in this league. So it's really interesting to kind of see how two superstars in their primes with Kawhi and Paul George are going to try and handle a budding one in Luka Doncic.
So now Porzingis is over on the bench. Is he getting teched up and thrown out of this game? He's already been teched up once. He looks like he's out of the game. I think they just threw him out of the game.
So
he's
tell
leaving.
You what, Scotty, I mean, I had to leave the game to take this phone call. So I'm not actively watching the bench right now.
Okay,
my main role here is to watch the Lakers. So yeah, that's my main thing.
All right, so he just got thrown out of the game, Porzingis, for getting in the fight with Beverly. That's his second tech, and he's walking out now. He's done for tonight. They just threw him out of this game. That is unbelievable. I have to ask you, are you surprised at all that they had that lead of 18-2, and they came out firing, and then they absolutely folded up their tent and decided to stop playing, and the Mavericks took over the game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Mavericks have really good three-point shooters. Seth Curry got hot. Some other guys on the team got hot. They've been shooting really well in the bubble. They have the second-best offense in since the restart. So Dallas has been playing extremely well. Both Luka and Kristaps averaging over 30 points in the bubble. It's a huge offensive matchup.
How did you end up doing the gig and going down there? Like, how did that all evolve for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I cover the Lakers, applied through the league, and got approval to the league. I had to figure out sort of all the logistics of moving to Orlando for 3 months. Within 1 week, got on a plane and came and quarantined for 7 days. So it's definitely been a whirlwind, and the bubble is like nothing I've ever experienced before, obviously. I equated it the other day to living on a space station. It's like we live on the basketball Death Star. So it's been pretty wild to kind of experience that.
So what do you do? Like, I know you cover the team, and since they rolled over and didn't try in any game that they played, the Lakers completely did nothing in the bubble. What did you do, like, when you weren't at their games watching them lose? What did you do, like, around that bubble? Like, what was it like?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. It's a little restrictive. You know, we have Magic bands to scan in everywhere we go. We have to test every day, you know, and then in practices and in media settings, we have to socially distance, wear masks, do all kinds of things to kind of make sure that the integrity of the bubble is maintained. You know, it's just kind of weird to try and do your regular job when all these factors have been added. But, you know, we've adapted and gotten used to it. And, you know, just like anything, if you do it enough times, it becomes a habit.
Wow, that's crazy. So when I said those things about the Lakers, how would you describe their performance down there? Did it seem to you like they were even trying?
The Lakers in their seating?
Yeah.
Games?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, sort of half speed. You know, it's hard because, one, they pretty much had number one seeding locked up. And two, they number one seeding just doesn't mean what it usually means. I mean, there's no home court advantage. The Blazers, who are their opponent, are actually healthier than they would have been if this had played out in April. You know, number one is just not the reward that you usually think of it. So it was just kind of a time for the Lakers to feel like they got their conditioning back. Obviously, they shot pretty bad at the start and got a little better, but they still had the worst three-point shooting in the bubble in those eight seeding games. I think that the Lakers have sort of another gear, but at some point they're going to have to show it, and game one is definitely the time to start if they do. I mean, I think LeBron kind of was going a little half-paced, trying to make sure he wasn't going to get injured and get to the playoffs. But obviously we've seen LeBron in the playoffs before, and he really ramps up as time goes on.
So Kyle Goon with us from the Southern California News Group. Do you worry at all about the Blazers, the way they have played? I think they've been fantastic, and they certainly look different with Jurkic. And I think Gary Trent's been phenomenal. I think Melo's played 17 solid per game. I think he's had a great role for him. And then obviously, you know, Dame and CJ do their thing. Collins gives them a piece. There's a lot of reasons that I have been impressed with the Blazers. Now, everyone, after they did all that magnificent work to get the eight, everyone's saying that the Lakers are just going to roll over them. I think that's absurd. I just have a problem with that.
Everyone's saying, because I don't know that everyone's saying that. I mean, I think a lot of people perceive them as a really tougher than average eighth seed. They went to the Western Conference Finals last year. They have Nurkic back. They don't have Collins for game one, but Collins could potentially play in the series, which he couldn't have in April. They're the number one offense in the bubble. They're playing great offense. I do think that at some point, like you just mentioned, their run is going to catch up with them. I mean, they've been super hot. Dame's averaged almost 40 points in his games in the bubble. That doesn't seem like it can keep up forever. And I do think that will kind of run out a little bit, but I don't think that from what I've heard, people think that the Lakers are just going to sweep them out of the building. And I certainly don't think that either.
Yeah. I like what the Blazers are doing. I think they're going to give the Lakers a game every night. I just think Dame Lillard is not having it. He's not having just Lakers roll and that's that. I just think they have too many weapons that can score. Now I question their defense a little bit, but they can run with anybody. And then people said that they would, like you had just suggested, that they would run out of gas, if you will, having to play all those incredible pressure games that they had to play. But I come from the side of the river that says, frankly, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just saying most of the guys that I know, that, and I ball every day of my life, they just want to keep balling. There's no, like, getting tired. I don't even know what that is. Like, every guy I know that balls, they just want to keep balling. He even said it. He's like, I'm here to ball. I'm not here to swim in the pool, to go fishing. I just want to ball. And I think they're going to have enough juice to go out every night and play, because I think the Lakers are a problem with Davis and LeBron, but I think that they have enough to go out as pros to just keep grinding.
Yeah, I mean, I think that too. And Damian Lillard is obviously just a name who commands respect in this league. People take him very seriously. I mean, he's had two series winning shots, walk-off shots, including the one last year over Paul George that everyone remembers with the bye-bye wave. So, I mean, he's definitely a threat. Like, you have to take him seriously. CJ's been playing well, even though he has a fracture in his back. I think that's going to be an issue for the Blazers and trying to put a true challenge up to the Blazers, or to the Lakers rather. And I don't think the Blazers can defend on the interior, which is just a huge problem when you're facing Anthony Davis, who could be up for some major nights this week. So I am interested to see if they can kind of keep up this sort of underdog peppy spirit. Obviously they've been playing elimination games basically since they got to the bubble, and the Lakers have not had to play with that kind of urgency. So I'm interested to see how those things swing.
Lastly, how do you think Kuzma goes off in this series? I know what everybody does on that team, Dwight's role, McGee's role, Caruso's role, Pope's role. What do you think Kuzma does on a nightly basis in this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for him is that he's going to have to defend, and then he's going to have to hit threes. And that's been kind of a tough role for him kind of figure out, because last year he was given a lot of leash. He was a starter. He was averaging almost 20 points a game, and sort of considered himself sort of a foundational piece of the team. And this year he's had to take a step back, be more of a sixth man, be more efficient in his minutes. And that's tough when you, for 2 years, you're a young guy gunning up shots in the NBA. But I think he's kind of realized that. The wheels are starting to turn on that. He's played better defensively in the bubble. He's going to have a challenge against Carmelo Anthony at times, against probably Yusuf Nurkic at times. But he's got to play smart and efficient. And really space the floor for LeBron and AD, so the Trailblazers just can't collapse on those two. So if he kind of plays his role more so than the gunner that he was early in his career, I think the Lakers are really going to benefit from that, and it's going to be a lot easier to close out the Blazers.
All right, Kyle, great stuff. Go back and enjoy the rest of this one. It's 77-76 Clippers, a really good game. They threw Zinger out of that game. It's unbelievable to me. Enjoy the Lakers-Blazers series. I'm sure we'll catch up again. Hopefully when you're down there, since you're there, we'll get you back on the bench or get you on the TV side on Coast to Coast. Thanks for coming on tonight.
All right. Hey, thank you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Kyle Goon with the Southern Cali News Group. And I just cannot believe, I got to be honest with you. I mean, that was nothing. I mean, there was a little bit of a skirmish, a little shove, like, you know, don't touch me. Beverly's always in it. You know, Beverly gets away with murder. And then they blame Porzingis for that whole thing. Now, I don't know. I still haven't spotted if, because I haven't seen if Beverly's on the bench right now or if they threw him out too. I'm not certain. But I know Porzingis is done in this game. He got two techs. The first one was complaining after he blocked the shot early in the second. And then now he's been thrown out for getting into a fight with Beverly. So they threw him out of the game. That's a bad move by the NBA refs to throw out such an important player. They would never throw Kawhi Leonard or Paul George out of an NBA playoff game. But they throw Porzingis out because he doesn't matter as much as the beloved Lakers and Clippers. I think that's a bunch of BS, is Pharrell on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. All right, so yeah, it was definitely Morris that he shoved, not Beverly. But Beverly and Morris were the ones in the scrum, right? So Porzingis shoved Morris, and then Beverly was in it too. Beverly did not get tossed. Porzingis got tossed, his second tech, and most of the fans, two of the most weak techs I've ever seen, soft-ass NBA. And then here's another one. This Shaq is rigged for sure. And then LeBron was watching the game, and he's like, man, that was bogus as hell, man. Come on, man, that double tech. He got one for blocking a shot, which was a clean block. And then I think the other one was bottom line. I'm losing my mind in here. I got so much action going on. I just thought it was a terrible call to throw him out. Like now, I mean, it's 82-76 Clippers. I think it changed the game. It definitely, I mean, without a doubt, it changed the game. I mean, he was having a solid game. He was involved. He was doing everything. Doncic was having his usual, you know, big night in terms of what he was producing. And I thought Porzingis had 14-6-1 with a block. And then Doncic has 24-5-7. And if he would have kept playing, I mean, it was early in the third. If he would have kept playing, Porzingis is going to have 25 points in this game because he's going to shoot a few more threes. He's going to get to the line. I thought Porzingis was playing defense, blocking shots, the whole deal. I just want to look at it to see how many he had, just the one block. But the one, the one he blocked, they didn't give him any credit for. It was a clean block. It was a beautiful block. And then he questioned it. He threw his arm. He like was like, no way. And then they teched him up. Like these refs with their crappy balls in the NBA. And the NHL is just as bad with these linesmen never dropped the puck on faceoffs. I hate their guts.